proclaiming the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Shalom and welcome to the Everlasting Nation, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions.
This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio Bible study. We continue our series relating to the servant in Isaiah chapter 53, turning our attention in this session to verse 11 of that chapter. The first part of that verse completed the thought expressed in the previous passage of Isaiah 53. Isaiah noted that God's servant would, quote, see of the travail of his soul and be satisfied, unquote. What did that expression mean? The Hebrew word for travail, which is amal, the Hebrew word for travail meant more than somebody's output of labor. It also connoted a degree of grievousness that would accompany such a work. In other words, God's servant would have to undergo a great deal of personal sacrifice in the process of accomplishing God's will. This applied to Jesus Christ. The author of Hebrews referred to his atonement when he wrote that Jesus Christ, quote, endured the cross as part of the divine plan of redemption. We now look at the phrase, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. The usage of the words imply that God's servant would somehow see his efforts come to fruition. The writer of Hebrews hinted at this in the second chapter of his epistle. He cited the first part of this passage from Isaiah chapter 8, in which the declaration was made, quote, behold I and the children which God hath given me, unquote. The author of Hebrews applied this passage to Jesus Christ. How did Jesus Christ see the travail of his soul and be satisfied? According to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Savior rose from the dead, becoming, in Paul's words, quote, the first fruits of them that slept, unquote. In other words, Jesus Christ served as the spiritual predecessor of the redeemed. Isaiah went on to explain why God's servant would have cause for rejoicing. Quote, by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Unquote. At first glance, the phraseology the prophet used seems strange. How can the mere possession of knowledge justify a sinner? The Hebrew noun das, rendered as knowledge, did not necessarily infer the acquisition of facts. Das could also denote the skillful use of such details in achieving a specific goal. For example, in 1 Kings chapter 7, we have a description of a man known as Hiram of Tyre. That passage in 1 Kings 7 referred to that man's skill, da'as, in working with brass. Put another way, Hiram not only understood the nature of brass, he exhibited his talent in the way he worked with it. Jesus Christ, as the servant of God, possessed this skill. Since he is God, he knows all things. He combined that understanding with an ability to convey spiritual truth through simple forms, such as the use of parables. No wonder that, according to Mark chapter 12, quote, the common people heard him gladly, unquote. Once again, Isaiah noted that God's servant would bear the sins of others, once again portraying the substitutionary nature of the servant's offering and suffering. Jesus Christ anticipated his completion of that part of the divine plan. In John chapter 17, just before his arrest, he prayed to his Father and said, quote, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do, unquote. His final acclamation while hanging on the cross, the declaration, it is finished, was his way of pointing out that he had completed his redemptive mission. He had fulfilled his part in the plan of God. This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio broadcast.
You've been listening to the Everlasting Nation, a ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can contact us at 423-876-8150 or go online to ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.